Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big daytime show. A to Z show from the Dave in the City studios in Southern California. Feeling pretty good amidst the circumstances and glad to have you with us tonight. This shall be another update show. And I call these bridge shows because they kind of take us from some of our full-length shows and into the next set of full-length shows. So what we're going to do is, I'll just basically update you on what's been happening with me. A lot of YouTube channels do that. They do a here's what's happening with me episode, and surprisingly, they're popular. So I don't like to do this a lot, but tonight, I figure we may as well. Things have started to slow down in terms of our podcast production, and we'll get to it. We certainly have definitively hit our midway point of this podcast series, but is it the midway point of our coronavirus pandemic's our pandemic timeline here in the U.S.? Time will tell, but the time says we are up to the letter M. So yes, the midway point. We've done a lot of shows. I think it's really cool. Like, we've gone from A to M, and now we have to go up next to N, and then work our way to Z. And as we do that, I'm noticing that there's been some plateauing in the coronavirus numbers, deaths, and number of new infections. I mean, the number of infections and active cases has not gone down yet here in the U.S., but I think it seems to be moving in that direction. So we'll see. I don't want to mush it. That could be what M is for, too. M for mush. But I'm not going to do that yet. So rather than really get into anything specific about what's happening around us, I will now share with you what's been happening with me personally. And it's not a whole lot, but I think it's interesting to note a few things that we have been able to keep in touch with each other, my friends and family and me. And I know that Easter was a big part of this, meaning a lot of people couldn't do Easter the traditional way, meeting with families together to celebrate the time. And many churches did their services virtually. And it sounded like that went pretty well for a lot of people, so that's good. And that left us, our family, the Medina family, and the associated relative families, and we got together in a video chat during the afternoon. That was really good, and I think this was the second of our video chats that we've done since the pandemic started and since we were all issued stay-at-home orders. And it was really nice to catch up with everybody and see everybody again in one sitting. So that was kind of nice. We had I think we had about a dozen people in our video chat. And we eventually segued from the Facebook thing we were doing up to Zoom. And I don't know why it took so long to get into that, because I was just so concerned about the potential of using my work account to do it. But then I realized that I could just do my own account and just do a 45-minute meeting, and it seemed to work. So we did, and it was fine. Like, it was just fine. I guess I was overthinking that. But eventually my cousin started her own Zoom account and her own Zoom link, and we all just went to that, and it worked fine. And I think Zoom is probably the biggest star from a technology standpoint of this entire this entire time of our history. It's really interesting. I think that's like the one thing you're going to remember most about any kind of technology during these last couple months. And so got to give him a lot of credit. Just being able to maintain all of this infrastructure, all this bandwidth, millions and millions of Zoom meetings, a lot of high bandwidth video going back and forth, and it helped our family stay together. That was really cool. I think that's really great. There's some stuff that my sisters did for my niece at their apartment. See, they had two of my sisters and my niece are in one apartment, and so they organized a little Easter egg hunt for her. And that was really nice. Like, that was really nice. Their apartment's big enough where they can do that. And so they did a little Easter egg hunt, and they put it on video, and we all had a chance to watch the video. So that was pretty cool. And the live chat was enjoyable. And now we've set the groundwork for, like, future parties. So any of our next parties are going to be on that for the foreseeable future. That made us feel pretty good. I mean, up until then, I will be honest, I was feeling pretty depressed. And I was tired. I was really tired. Like, I just wasn't able to really have the energy to do much of anything. We actually were going to attempt a show with a friend of mine, Mike, who now lives in Illinois. But I know him going back to when I worked for UCSB a long time ago in Santa Barbara. And we haven't actually talked on the phone in a really long time, but we message each other from time to time. We were going to do a show. So we had that set up. It was going to be on Saturday. We were going to do a show, talk about whatever. And we both just ended up too tired for it. Like, he was tired, and then ultimately I was too tired too. I was actually just tired first, and then I was just thinking, well, if he's too tired, I'm not going to put that much effort into convincing him. So he wound up being too tired. He had to put his little guy to bed. And that's certainly fine. And again, I mean, I completely understand the needs of family. And I know a lot of friends who are in that position. Like, you'll notice that when we do the NBA shows with my friend Chris in Georgia, he often does it right after he puts his kids to bed. So that does not end up happening until roughly 9 o'clock. So we do the show, well, 9 o'clock his time over in the East. So we wind up doing our show at about, like, when we record it usually around 9:30 Eastern time. So that would be 6:30 where I am here. And it makes all the sense in the world. And same thing for our friend, you know, our friend Fred's, like, Fiddle Elfier has to do the same thing usually when we were doing our MLB show. So I feel very sympathetic to all that, because I know that many people I know always try to get their kids to bed. And what I've noticed that, you know, since getting to know all my friends is that the me time begins usually right after that. Like, everything else up to then is like kid time, wife time, family time, work time, all that time for other people. And that's great, right? But the me time begins usually at 9. So that precious small amount of time that one gets to enjoy things that they want to do, whether it's watch sports or watch movies or do things or write things or create things, all that for the family man tends to begin about 9 o'clock. And something I've wondered for a while is, I wondered if my parents had that too. Like, I wondered if their me time began about the same time. And I think if I take the advice of my friends Karen and Andrew and put them on the show, I think I'll ask them about that. Like, when we were young, like when my older sister and me were little kids, did they not get their me time until about 9 o'clock too? Like, that's interesting. And I wonder why a television programmed that way too. It must have, because if you think about it, you know what I was noticed, like, at from 8 to 9, it's like all the family shows, at least in the '80s when I was very young, my sister was very young, like all that stuff was everything from like 8 to 9 on a typical weeknight was family oriented stuff, like, you know, learning lessons and family shows, little kids, all that stuff, like all this family stuff. But then from like 9 to 10, you had the adult shows, whether it were sitcoms, whether it were like serials, whether it were action shows or dramas or whatever. And then from like 10 to 11 on a, you know, like in primetime network television of the day, that was like the provocative stuff. Like, it was almost exclusively like drama and action And it gets really, like, even more adult than 9 o'clock did, right? So they tended to do, like, no sitcoms at 10. I don't even think I could remember a single sitcom ever being scheduled at 10 o'clock p.m. Because I think what they're considering is that the sitcoms were also for, like, teenagers, so, like, people who are in high school, so who could stay up a little later. But by 10 o'clock, you have to be pretty much a full-grown adult, either in college or having a full-time job. Or even a part-time job, just having a job, being an adult. So that was fully adult-oriented stuff, and typically you wanted your most provocative shows to be from 10 to 11. So it's a small thing, and I don't work in TV, but it's been pretty clear that usually you divide your primetime block into those three parts. So, you know, the front end of it was tended to be like the truly family-oriented programming, and then 9 to 10 would be, like, in the middle of that, like, your adult stuff, your adult comedy stuff. But sometimes you could do dramas, too, at 9 o'clock. That was always possible. And you did have hour-long shows at 8 o'clock, but usually, and you will notice this, like, whether it was, like, Knight Rider or whatever, those shows were, like, intended so that kids could watch them, too. But by the time it got to 10, you did not get anything that had kids in mind at all, like Dallas and stuff like that. And I don't know what time that show was on, but you know, like, there were shows like Hunter and, I don't know, Remington Steele. There's a billion shows like that that were on, like, from like 10 to 11. I would gauge that Miami Vice was a 10 p.m. show. It would have to be, right? Like, it's about drugs and stuff. But so that's always an interesting study to me. I feel like prime time for me as a podcast seems to be 9 o'clock Eastern for a lot of my friends out there in the Eastern time zone. Those of us out west, we're fine to do our shows at like 6 or 7, or it doesn't really matter. But the thing about it is, a lot of my friends out here don't have kids. When they do, I think things are going to be very different. And this is going to be interesting, right? Like, I wonder if I'll eventually get to a point where I'm going to have to start recording shows at 9 o'clock my time, because my friends here will need to wait until 9 o'clock before they get their kids to bed and so on. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. That's a very interesting question. I really am curious as to how that'll end up, but it's been a very consistent thing that I've noticed in my years doing the show. So I think I should save some of that, those insights, for a future episode, because Junkman wanted me to do a show about podcasting itself and, like, what it's about and the process and getting guests and the technical aspects. And so I think that'll be coming up for our P episode, the podcasting episode. So needless to say, I think we've turned a corner in terms of my creative drive. Like, I was very, very tired last week. I will be honest. I just didn't feel like doing any shows of any kind. And I don't even know what I ended up doing. Let's see. It really was just that little 15-minute show I did. That was it. And I know I recorded some other shows but the week before. That went really well. But that was definitely a slower week. And then ultimately, I was texting Junkie about it. And I was like, I don't know what to do, Junkman. Like, this is... It's getting kind of... I'm just starting to wear down a bit. I mean, obviously, doing all those shows in one sitting certainly was a factor in that. Work was a factor. But the coronavirus itself was a big factor, and there's just a lot of, I wouldn't say despair, but just a lot of monotony involved in what was happening. Is like, we weren't really seeing, you thought things were getting stable, right? Italy was starting to plateau. The deaths were starting to come down. Same thing for USA. Like, the number of cases per day had been about the same, or they were even a little lower, a little higher, but they never really broke 35,000 new cases per day. So there is something stable about that. And I think that was good, but there was like a whole week of that. It was just like, it just kind of did that for a week. And I was just looking at that, and it just wears you down. It's like, gosh, so when is this going to start going down? Like, it's been sitting here at the same rate for over a week. And I think today will be an interesting day from that standpoint. But what got to me was that Italy wasn't really lowering very much in terms of their daily new cases. It was just like, it got to 3, but then it went back up to 4, and then like 4,000 this, 4,000 that, 4,000 the other thing. And that was like, they've been at this even longer than we have, and they're still kind of plateauing at this specific number. And I'm like, when are you going to get under that number so that real things can happen? And I think that that's where I think everybody is starting to get a little, just a little like beaten down. Like you knew what the, you had a general idea what the timeline was, but then the fact that it was just kind of staying there for the whole week made you really think about where we all were mental health wise. I will tell you also, as I think I said this in previous episodes, but since the last time I tried to run, I noticed that there's so many people out there. I didn't think it was even worth it anymore. A new edict was passed down that essentially mandated us to wear a mask when we go out in public. So from that standpoint, I thought, if I was going to run, I probably would have to wear a mask during my run. And I don't like running with a mask on. So I'm going to take a hit from that, definitely. But I'm trying my best to eat less so we don't get to that point. So I don't want to overindulge in anything for the next few weeks. I made an exception last weekend where I had I'd baked the chicken, which, by the way, was pretty good, except for there was just too much salt in the chicken. The chicken had a little too much salt. Like I thought the chicken would have been perfect if I just didn't put so much salt. Like it still was good though, but it would have been really good if I had just done a little less salt. But other than that, I was very impressed. The doneness was good. You know how like when you kind of put the fork on the chicken, and then it kind of cracks through the skin, and it does it in a way that makes it seem like you're popping a balloon. That is a really good sign. When you can get the fork to kind of pop the chicken like a balloon, that means you got the doneness very well. It's very juicy. It's very well cooked, and the skin is very crispy. Like you get all that from the fork test. Like you poke and it doesn't even take that much effort, and I was like, this is great. So it's a very minor adjustment on my end, but the next time I do a chicken, I think that's what I'm gonna do. Baking a chicken is so easy. Like you just put the chicken in, you put the seasonings, you put the oven to a certain number of degrees. I settle at this point on 350 degrees. You put it in for about an hour and that's it. It's that easy and it's great. People have had different trains of thought in terms of, do you rinse the chicken first or do you not? And one place I read online said, don't do that. So I didn't. I don't know if that's right or not, but it tasted great. So I assume that I'm fine. No ill effects so far either. So very happy to do that. I mean, I shouldn't be patting myself on the back for baking a chicken. It's so easy to bake a chicken. Like that's not even an accomplishment from my point of view, but I'm glad it worked out. So I probably should keep doing that, because when you get a chicken, it costs a lot less to just get a whole chicken and bake it yourself as opposed to like buying it from the deli. In fact, I think if you get it at the right spot, like the chicken I bought was only $4 and it was a full size chicken. But if you buy a chicken from the deli, you get your pieces and it constitutes a chicken, like all the pieces together, 8 pieces, pretty much you got a whole chicken with that. But that would cost like $8. So, yeah, you're saving a good amount of money by doing that. So I'll see if I can try to do that again. And sometimes, because I am me, I don't like doing everything the same way all the time. I don't. Like, when I bake a chicken, I can do it a specific way a certain number of times. But then eventually I'm going to want to tweak it. Like, I want to add cayenne pepper one time. I might want to add garlic another time. I may want to put in a glaze another time. And so as I continue to try experimenting with chicken, I think I may end up doing stuff like that in the next few weeks. But this is definitely on the right, like, I think my cooking is on the right path. Like I haven't done too much red meat. Like I haven't, in other words, I haven't grilled a lot of steak, because I just think that steak is something I need to keep to a minimum for the foreseeable future. I love it too. I really do. But maybe like once or twice a month, right? That's sort of where I'm at. I can, you know, some people eat steak every day, which is really, to me, really dangerous. And another thing that I think is really dangerous is like drinking one of those huge, like 64-ounce sodas. And it, if you do that every day, oh my goodness. I mean, you are on the fast track to diabetes, and I've seen it. Like, I've seen people I know go right into type 2 diabetes with that. And that's not fun. That's not fun. So it happened to me where, now I never got to the point where I was doing that every day, but certainly I was having so many carbs, you know, leading up to the point where I reduced it drastically. That is now about a year and a month ago. And I'm kind of amazed that I haven't gained that much weight since the start of the pandemic, but I think it's just worked out. I'm pretty much assuming that I'm going to gain at least 5 pounds in the next like month or so. We'll see, though. We'll see. But I have to just be smart. Like, don't do anything stupid. And I think I'll be all right. So, it's been a good time. I've watched some shows on Netflix. I think I talked about that on previous episodes, too. The show I'm on right now is Bloodline. You can see I'm way behind on all this stuff. Like, that was like a show that everybody talked about 5 years ago, and I'm watching it now. But, you know, I guess that's what happens when you're so dialed into sports, and now I'm like completely not. Like, I have to be reminded by like the ESPN app what's going on in sports. Like, I have to wait for the app, and it says, hey, there's going to be an NFL draft online this year. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I just kind of left it alone. I didn't really read the article or anything. So, yeah, I've had a true vacation from sports, a true vacation from hypothetical wagering, true vacation from fantasy. It, in all honesty, I've actually enjoyed that. So it will present a very interesting challenge when we're back to sports. Then what am I going to do now? I'm like, I kind of like this. I kind of like not having to fuss with all those other recreational obligations. So that'll be a question that I will address on my own. I won't tell you guys what I do with that, but I assume we're going to continue the show the way we normally do. You know, we'll see. Obviously, as we've said before, like, we don't even know when that's going to happen, but it does seem like the leagues themselves seem to have a little more confidence in their ability to return, and they've been very creative in certain ways, and they're starting a horse tournament in the NBA that I'm not watching that, but I hope people are, so that the NBA can get some kind of funding from it and stay in business on some level. Similar to what we were talking about earlier, I have been continuing to go to various local places and getting food from them too. I think that's a very interesting sidebar, by the way. You know, people have been yelling at us, hey, don't eat out so much. It's not good for you. Don't eat out so much. And now they're like, you got to go eat out so you can keep these restaurants going. And I agree with that. I think it's a great idea. And I love the excuse, the built-in excuse. Hey, you got to go get some takeout. I'm like, absolutely. I'm happy to do that. So I've had some good meals, you know, a lot of good stuff. Had a burger meal from our favorite place, Father's Office, right around the corner from where I live. And that was great. That was really great. Had that. Had some beer. Beer has been definitely a constant. And like, that's one of the reasons why I'm amazed I haven't gained that much weight yet. But again, it's just because I don't eat a lot for breakfast anymore. And I think if I'm continuing to use proper portions with every meal, I can probably stay stable. And that's probably all I need to do. That's probably the biggest thing I can do. And eat right, too. Like, salads are big. I have been trying to eat salad every single day. That's such a big thing. Have your vegetables, have your nutrients, and it's worked out. Let's see, anything else? I've been staying current with the YouTube subscriptions. Naturally, you wouldn't expect a lot of YouTube channels to be pumping out episodes at the normal rate, but they seem to be coming out at a decent rate, so I'm coming out, and I'll go to all my subscription channels and popping them on when I can. And one other thing I've been doing, besides work, work has been a big part of what I'm doing. All the Zoom, all the setup, all the monitoring, backup videos, blah, blah, blah. A lot of that. But in addition to all of this, I've been compiling like a list of like hit records from the 80s, but not like the top 15 stuff, Top 15 stuff is what gets played all over the radio even today. So everyone's heard that a million times. So I am actually, in my spare time, logging all the hits that charted under between like 40 and 16. And it's a very Sheeran project. There's no doubt. Like, that's like such a waste of time. But it is a very effective waste of time. I think that, you know, if you need to pass time, that's a good way to do it. So I've been doing that, and at this point I'm up to 1983, and I'm just getting more and more efficient at compiling the data, and I got to thank a lot of people for that. There are people who are running websites that track the Billboard Hot 100 hits throughout the 80s, and these guys have done so much work to put this information together, so all I'm doing is borrowing from them, really, and all the credit. And one particular website I'm going to give credit to is a site on WordPress called countdown40sshows.wordpress.com, and they've done an unbelievable job putting together some chart information. They track the debut songs for that particular week in that particular year, and the songs that dropped out of the top 40 that week, and that has helped so much. I've saved a lot of time thanks to their research, so I send them my thanks. Countdown40shows.wordpress.com. If you are ever bored enough to look into that sort of thing, it's right there. So let's see. We'll close with this. Oh yeah, and then I got this adult coloring book for a white elephant exchange gift at Christmas time, with some colored pencils, and I've been coloring that in. Here's something I have learned since using that coloring book. I think that coloring book was designed for women, because there's like a lot of stuff with like lipstick and like a lot of girly talk and girly imagery, like unicorns and stuff. And I'm like, good Lord. And it's a white elephant, right? So the presents are just put out there. They don't really know who's going to get them. And I ended up getting it. And there's a lot of foul-mouthed language in there. And I think it's been fun to color it in. But as I've gone through like a quarter of the book, I'm realizing that, yeah, this is, I'm not the target audience for this at all. Like, I'm a guy. Like, I like beer. And here they're looking at like margaritas and stuff, and I'm like, fruity drinks, and I'm like, wow, this is not me at all. Like, this lipstick and makeup, and I'm like, I don't do any of this. And so I'm like, it's awkward for sure, but look, I need to kill time. It actually works really well for that purpose. So I'm continuing to color this stuff in, even though it's like all girly stuff now. It's like, it's whatever. Like, I think as long as it helps me pass the time, I can listen to music simultaneously, and it's fun. So all these oddball projects are what I've been working on, including these podcasts, and put together, I think it'll help us all get through the pandemic somehow. We're doing all right. California's doing very well. Again, I don't know. I still am waiting for some spike, because I keep thinking, well, we're not getting enough tests, but I am looking at the chart at worldometers.info, and it suggests that we in California have conducted the second most number of total tests thus far during the pandemic, and the only one ahead of us at this point is New York. So that is really interesting. So I think maybe my point about us simply not testing enough, maybe at that point's not even founded. So what that means is that we've handled this really well. Like, the number of new cases per day seems to be keep going down. It's starting to flatten. Number of new deaths every day is starting to flatten. It's not very much at all. And so, I mean, you know, let's just hope that continues. But, I mean, you know, it's a good sign, definitely. And we'll see if it keeps going that way. I mean, I can't assume anything at this point. No one else has up to now. And I think we'll keep monitoring the situation. And same thing for New York, that they got large numbers, but the growth has slowed significantly in the last 2 weeks, and that is a big sign. So we're holding prayers for New York and all the other states and our own state and everybody. And with that, I say thank you. That's our show tonight. Hopefully I wasn't too much of a nuisance breaking that all down. We will be back with the next show, our end episode of our A to Z anthology series, and And we hope you continue to stay with us for the remainder of this series. I'm really happy with how it's going. I mean, these last two episodes were really the only parts of the series that I felt like I really had to really kind of reach out there. But it's been done, and I hope you've enjoyed this program as well. So we want you to stay safe, stay healthy, and stay together, stay connected however you can, online or what have you. We will see you next time.